Well, I hope that helped clarify what General Conference actually is about. And I attended the Indiana chapter conference as the lay member. Our pastor was there as our clergy member. It's multiple days of talking basically about the business of the church. It's not super exciting. I'm going to be honest with you there. It's a big business meeting. It's about all of the committees that help keep our church and all the churches in Indiana running and working together. So all of these committees get together, present their reports, what they've accomplished this year, how they spent the money that they had, new appointments if they need to have new leaders, those who are phasing out, new people coming in, or if they decide they need to start a new committee to help with a new mission area that they want to do. So our theme this year was to see all the people. And Bishop Julius Trimble said that this theme invites us all towards our goal of being missional, walking hand in hand as lay and clergy alongside our neighbors and communities. Something really encouraging at the conference that I noticed was it's not just all little rural churches like we have here. I think of us as more of a rural church. But you get a really good representation of, heart of downtown Indianapolis churches that were there as well. All different sizes, churches that were the size of our congregation, churches that were half the size of ours, churches that had 1,000 members. So everybody was equally represented. And it was great to see all these different diverse bodies that were all there together to learn and share towards our general goals. Okay, and our See All the People was based off of Matthew 9:35 through 38 with the theme, when you look at this section in our Bible, it talks about the workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Oh, I skipped one. So the purpose of conference, we've talked a little bit about this already, was it's so much about taking care of the business of the church. It's also about fellowship. You were able to, they really encouraged you to mix it up, to go sit at a table with other people that you didn't necessarily come to conference with. They had us color-coded on our tag so that you couldn't necessarily sit with your friends. You had to mingle with other people and reach out and talk. So that was nice. Everybody was super friendly, happy to be there, eager to share why they were there, what they were hoping to accomplish, what they were eager to hear about. And some people were able to discuss, hey, we're having problems with attendance on our Saturday night service, or we're having a lot of growth in our youth. How are we staffing with youth leaders? Just a lot of idea sharing and less sharing of problems and more about growth blessings. All right, so what does this all have to do with all of us on the smaller scale? If we didn't go to conference, or it's nice to go as a layperson, but it also feels kind of out of your hands when you're there, to be honest, because all these committees, all these people came prepared, and you're kind of an observer when you came in. You got to go to the meeting, and that's great, but you weren't quite sure what to expect, and you're just kind of thrown in the middle of it and playing catch-up. But it gives you a chance to be more informed about the overall scheme outside of our small church, how we fit into our state of Indiana and all the churches in that area, and more of the national church scene. There were some heavy topics on the agenda. He talked about the general conference is just going to be every 4 years. But this year we're having a special session, and we're breaking tradition and having another meeting in 2 years. So there's one coming up in February of 2019, because we have some heavy topics to discuss about the church, the church's stance, and those have to basically revolve around human sexuality, homosexuality, and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues among clergy and members of the church, and how what our church is doing with that. So that's what the special session is pretty much for, why we're having an extra meeting, because it's an important topic for us to address. Okay. Another overall theme about the conference, in addition to the workers are few and coming hand in hand with and seeing all of the people, was if you want to see all of the people and you want to connect with other people, you need to be able to have conversations, productive conversations with other people. So there was a lot of emphasis put on how do you talk? And more importantly, how do we listen? Pros, it is evident that the United Methodist Church in Indiana and globally feels that we should all work on our ability to connect and have meaningful conversations with all of the people, regardless of whether we share the same opinion. We kind of got pulled into these critical conversation sessions, which were 2 days in a row, believing that we were going to talk about some of these difficult topics that are coming up at General Conference. And that's not what we got to do at all. Instead, we got to have moments of meditation with chimes, and we got to pass an object and hold it, and we got to talk when we were holding the object, and everybody else had to listen. If you weren't holding the object, you couldn't talk and pass that around. So they taught us about techniques instead, about actually talking about difficult things or having productive conversations with other people. They gave us more tools for our toolbox in case you didn't already have those. I think Pastor Joel and I were both a little discouraged about that, because I think we wanted to have more stimulating conversation about, you know, views and what people felt was a better representation of the stance of their church that they came to represent for these, you know, 2 to 3 days of the conference. And instead we're passing a ball and saying where we're from and what's our favorite color. But, you know, the way they wrote out the description got everybody in the room. So whether it was misleading or not, everybody walked away with a few more tools and reminders about how to be a better listener and how to be respectful in conversations. It was a challenging section for me. Okay. I felt like when we were there during those sessions, those sessions were led by people who were pastors in other sections. They weren't Indiana pastors, but they were pastors in United Methodist pastors in, I think they were from Louisiana and Georgia, but they were trained mediators, and they also specialized in when you have a general assembly of people and people all want to discuss a topic, they are there to make sure it goes well, to control the conversation, to keep it kind, productive, make sure everybody's playing by the rules, keep people under control. That's what these people were experts in when they were playing with the chimes and passing the word ball. But it was not as based in scripture as I would have hoped. It was more based on, philosophy and psychology, which is fine. I'm a psychology minor, but I felt that at a church conference, talking about how we should love, listen, and speak to each other should have been more based in God's word. I would have liked to hear that more. So for the remainder of our talk, I'm going to take it in the direction that I felt it should have gone. In James 1, 19 through 27, I've got a few slides. This is a long section. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I think my biggest takeaway from this scripture, it talks so much about how to listen to others, how to love others, about controlling your tongue, and about controlling your temper, because it's so easy to feel ourselves, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong to feel our emotions boil up when we hear something that we disagree with or something that makes us angry. That's part of our human cue. Why are we angry? It's what we do with it, what we do with that agitation. And this is talking about controlling it. And it's really easy when we feel that way and so impassioned about something to react in a way that isn't godly and or have a temper or talk loudly, and just it shuts the other person off. They no longer want to hear what you have to say. All they feel is yelled at. They don't feel listened to. They don't feel heard, and they don't feel accepted as a person. So James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And you know, it's just so comforting to know God's law is so perfect. I think we live in a society that forgets about God's law is absolutely perfect, and it is our absolute truth. It's our only absolute truth. But to know his perfect law, we have to be in it. It's not, it doesn't just filter into our brains, into our hearts. You have to get into it and fill your brains and your hearts with knowing what God says. And the freedom in this verse, when we talk about freedom in God's law, it's not only freedom from our sin and the ability to have salvation, but it's also the freedom from questioning what is right, what does God say, how should I live? And not that we aren't ever going to say that, but we know where the answer is. We know that God's perfect law, that we can find it, that he will guide us in that way. And if we do what he says, we're going to honor him, but we have to be in God's word. Okay, some takeaways that I'd like to encourage all of you to bring back, that I'm bringing back to all of you from conference, is to pray for all of our leaders, for these people who are running these committees, for the outreach they have. Amazing programs going on for kids who are in the foster system. They have homes where these kids just haven't been adopted. I think we support a couple of them. But just amazing programs going on out there. So continue to pray for all of these leaders. There were a lot of newly appointed leaders to committees this year. So pray for them. Pray for those who are going to be involved in the general conference in February, that they would bring their wisdom to that and that they would follow God's conviction in how God would want us to move forward. Also, it's not just the select lay person or the clergy people who have conversations with other members of our community every day. It's all of us, everybody. So guard your heart and open your mind to having respectful and loving conversations with everybody you come in contact with. I think it's so easy for us to judge just that was such an underlying theme about you can't be a worker if you're not willing to listen or talk to other people. So be willing to say hello to the person in the grocery line in front of you who has three carts and 200 coupons and is paying in pennies. And smile and just be encouraging to other people. And again, get in God's word, because that's going to be your lamp. It's your filter system for what is good and what is true and what is right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. And that circles us back about equipping and growing in knowledge, because you can't be a good worker. Everybody has to go through some training to be a worker in any given job or occupation that you have, and to be a worker for God out in his fields and reaching other people, we've got to be trained, and that's getting in God's word. And that takes us back to the theme of seeing all the people in that verse 37, and he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So I pray that we would all stay connected in God's word, in prayer for each other, in prayer for our leaders, and love each other. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to all be together and study in your word. And we pray that you would help us to grow in the knowledge of you so that we can come to know your law better and have confidence in the perfection of it, and know that it is good and perfect. I pray that you would help us to love each other, and I pray that you would help us to have the discipline to listen to each other. And I pray that you would guard our hearts and minds as we go about our week. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the trust and fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.